Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient tradition. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market unless they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as the ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." And Jesus replied, "You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition.'" The Gospel of Christ. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the words and thoughts of all of our hearts present be worthy in thy hearing, Lord. Amen. One little girl in a third grade Sunday school class, her teacher said, who was teaching about the Ten Commandments, "Can you give us an example?" The teacher said, "Honor your father and their mother." That's what the teacher said. "Now, does anyone know a commandment for brothers and sisters?" To which the sharp little girl raised her hand and said, "Thou shalt not kill." I think the little girl knows her Ten Commandments. And certainly the Jewish people knew them, especially the Pharisees and scribes. That was their business. They were in the religious business. Deuteronomy said, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you and do them that you may live." But did religious leaders manipulate this commandment? Possibly. This is where Moses' statement was, "You shall not add to the word that I command you." This is from God. "Nor take from it, that you should keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." God said to Moses, "Make sure these folks understand. You don't take an iota out of it, a dot out of it. What is written is written." That's the word of God. So Jesus wonders, I think, a little clearly when he's being confronted by the Pharisees. These Pharisees who have traveled 3 days from Jerusalem to confront Jesus in the Galilean area. They heard about him from all the miracles that's going on, words out everywhere. And they come up to see him. But they don't come up to congratulate him, saying, "What we've heard only God could do, so we just want to be here in your presence." No, it was to confront this man in every way they could. Biblical history tells us that these blessed people have short memories and were easily seduced away from the truth of God's love for his people. Yes, it's true. In our lifetime, people forget God's commandments also. and memories fade, and soon generations of God's precious people are pursuing a lifestyle that debases them again. Just as it did in Jesus' day, so it's happening again and again in our age. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is once engaged in a dispute with religion. When the Jewish leaders and Pharisees say they have come all the way to confront Jesus, and he contends that the religious leaders have manipulated these laws that God has made, they scheme in favor of man-made laws and traditions. And some of these man-made laws, obviously not being based in God's word, are meaningless ritual. They're not God-honoring. They're not pleasing to God. But these religious leaders do it anyways. And the people take it, because they're the leaders. And how easily manipulated people can be by dishonest leaders. These leaders are defending the culture that they want, their lifestyle that they want to live. And they're declaring it required by all the Jews. You all have to comply because we know best. You better be washing your hands and observing all the traditions that we teach. And doesn't that have just a bit of a ring into the current situation we find ourselves? Pompously, the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" It's more of an accusation than a question, really, isn't it? Why? Why are they not paying attention to us guys with the robes? we're the heroes here. We know what's what. Jesus didn't even defend himself or his disciples. Had no need to. He looks at them and says, "The very word of God makes my point." Quoted, "Isaiah prophesied rightly from you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me," Jesus said. "In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." What an indictment. He doesn't defend, he just states the facts. You know the book? Why are you guys disobeying the book? The word of God, the Torah. He calls these Pharisees hypocrites. That's a very strong term to apply to anyone, quite frankly. Then or now, right? The dictionary defines a hypocrite as a charlatan, as an actor, a person who simulates goodness and virtue, but it's only a pretense. These people had the audacity to teach their opinion as doctrine. I think in this day and age, we're hearing something similar. Virtue signaling. All the time, we see it. Not people who necessarily believe one word that they're teaching or sharing, but they're celebrities. LeBron James is an example. Puts people down because he can. Not only is he big, really big, but he can do it because he's a celebrity. And people give that authority to him. And he can make the dumbest statements that are possible. And there's many, many, many other people in our day and age that are influencing the children that you love and care for and directing them. And if he says it's okay or she says it's okay, then it's okay. Not matter what you said, Dad, or Mom, or Grandpa, or Grandma. But when a celebrity says it, that's important. Traditions made by man cannot be substitutes for the commandments of God, my friends, and you know it and I know it. But in this country, in the United States, Europe, and the UK, the Western world in general, people have abandoned the commandments of God. Political leaders are elected, and liberal church leaders now promote abortion killing as the right thing. We live in an age where Jesus is looking at us, and if he was willing to shake his fist, I'm sure he would be, saying, "What are you people doing? Do you not understand the commandments? Thou shalt not kill," that little girl said, even if she was joking. So then Jesus changes focus to the crowd again. He leaves the Pharisees. He's now going to focus on the larger group of people that are present. And he says, "Ignore these hypocrites. Listen to me, all of you. And understand, there's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile it. But things that come out are what defile." So he's answered the question that I posed today. Where does evil come from? Does it come from the outside or it comes from the inside? And Jesus answered the question. He says to these people, "For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, envy, shamelessness, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within. And they defile a person." Holy smokes. I think you were wondering, when was that list ever going to end? And some of us says, tick, that one, whoops, not that one. And you're trying to decide, where do I fall in that category? But the truth is, Jesus understood the heart of the people. He created us. He was there at the very moment of our breath. And he knows that we will fall into some, you know, situations. But he also knows he's given a way out of them. Our relationship with him will make us whiter than snow. Symbols of religiousness don't cut it. Seek the kingdom of God. That's what counts. That's what Jesus is saying to you and I. He said it to them, and he says it to us. It doesn't matter what you eat. It matters what you believe. Okay. You know, you can have bacon. Yes, you can. Or pork if you want. If you don't want to, that's fine. But it's what's inside you that comes out of you that determines your relationship with God. The corruption of the human heart is rooted in desire for worldly things and status. I believe that. I remember, you know, when I was, you know, I never felt, personal story, I never felt that I was a really bad guy, you know. I think most of us in this room would say, I never was really a bad guy. I didn't rob any banks or anything like that, you know. But worldly status and symbols and materialism, I think all of us could have fallen into that trap at some point and maybe still in it. I certainly did. You know that story that when I was at university, we had a bunch of buddies that were all in, and we created our own investment group. $10 a month we put in. We played this penny stock market. It was used really every Thursday to get together at the Birch Room in Waterloo Pub. And we would use that as an excuse to talk and pretend that we knew what we were talking about, us university students. But the bottom line, it was a good excuse to drink beer, laugh, and have fun. But also, there was an underlying essence of it. Bob told me, and all of us at that group, the guy that dies with the most toys wins. And I bought into it. All of us did. And I think most of us at university felt that way. Whatever subjects we were studying, your status will show off by the things you own, the house you have, the cars you have, the boats you have, the trips you make. People will notice, oh, you're going here, you're going there. Wow, I wish I could. And there's somehow others saying, yeah, I'm better than you. And that's what the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' day. It's from within the human heart evil intentions come. It isn't religion that prepares us for eternal life, my friends. You know it and I know it. It's about a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I need to be careful and we have to watch ourselves because it's so easy to slip into a trap. If some people think being considered religious by others is a worthy goal, they do it. It's called virtue signaling. You know, yes, I go to church. Well, not all the time, but put it on my resume anyways. I want others to know. People think going through the motions of worship in a church occasionally makes us worthy to stand before God. And Jesus is saying to those Pharisees and to the people present, don't kid yourself. God sees through the smoke. James 1, we heard it today. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by taking a good game, or by who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game, is self-deceived. This is in the Message. I love that Message from time to time. It sort of clarifies, you know, some of the other versions. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach to the homeless and the loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world that we're in. So, in conclusion, as we're heading in that direction, faithful people need to respond in action, not just with talk. James clearly states, we have behaviors to cultivate as God's beloved people. Those are, be quick to listen. That's what we heard today when Dana read it. Be quick to listen. My goodness. Don't you find yourself a little bit quick to talk? Guilty. But quick to listen. James speaking the word. Slow to speak. I find email and Twitter have changed the velocity of people's minds. They will keyboard something out, unthought, maybe reckless, maybe hurtful, because we can. Slow to speak, James is saying. Think about what you are going to say to whomever, whether it's a child or a friend or a neighbor. And be eager to care for those most vulnerable. That's what James is reminding us. Half-brother of Jesus, right? Like he was right in the family of Jesus. He watched Jesus grow up, you know. He also saw him die. We considered that he was the first bishop in Jerusalem. So these things are in reach, you know. We can practice behaviors that cultivate us as not religious people, but as godly people, followers of Jesus. What parent doesn't want to be slow to anger in front of a child? What friend doesn't want to be a better listener? Aren't all of us, especially in our community, in a position to help, offer, and support those who are in need? Maybe better than we have been. Jesus restates the Ten Commandments with those two wonderful laws we read today. Love God and love and respect and treat each other as we'd love to be treated ourselves. My friends, watch ourselves closely. Make known to your children that there really is another worldview. There really is something that matters. God's worldview, so vastly different from the world's view of materialism and sexual depravity. I watched a soap opera this week. I don't watch it. I'm not saying I regularly watch it. After having watched that one, I don't watch it again. Okay, but it's one of those things slipped in. I couldn't believe it. I walked into it. There it was. And there's a young lady, I'm guesstimating 20-ish or less, with a guy who's about 20-ish or less. And she's describing a relationship she had with a guy the night before that she had just met. They had gone to a restaurant, and they went back to his apartment. And the only reason they didn't have sex is because neither one of them had a condom. First date. And that was on TV. That's my point. I was shocked. How many women, how many guys are watching this kind of nonsense around the world all the time? And some of your kids are being exposed to it. And they're hooked on it. It's an addiction. Jesus wants us to make a choice to guard our hearts against the defilement of our times. Do we have to work at it? You got to believe it. Those stains do come out. But we get stained when we give in to temptation. We need to guard against those temptations. So in finalizing, closing, finishing, we must make a stand, my friends. We must make a decision to support Christian groups that are on the front lines with children. We need to be meeting together again with a full church. We need to be meeting with our Bible studies and our groups that we have, the prayer warrior team, and the Friday group that gets together and leads prayers for us. We need to get real serious about the things that will separate us from being defiled. I know the culture of the moment says stay socially distanced. In fact, don't even go to church. You're doing the right thing if you don't go to church. Don't get together with fellow believers. That's the evil one working very successfully. And we fall into it. Yes, we need to do it right. If we're going to meet together, we do it like we are. Appropriately in every way. There's nothing to, we should not shirk a thing on that. But we need to go out of our way to meet together, to encourage each other. Because the times we're living in, the end times that we're there now, we are so close. If anybody's been following what's going on right now in the world, the Middle East is a powder keg like never before. Israel is now by himself, that country, where they could count on the United States being the one ally in all the world. That ally is now a phony ally. And we know that Russia and Turkey are in Syria, and the border of Israel and Syria are just exactly like that. I've been on it. It's right there on the road. Syria on the one side, Israel on the other. That's how these people live. And the Turkey and the Russians are trying to take over. And you can be sure that Israel is the target. And they're left alone. In the market, or in the situation we find ourselves in right now, that's how dangerous it is. However, some people say, hallelujah, the end is nigh. Those of who have made a decision for Jesus aren't really worried about what's going to happen because we won't be here. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. Help us to follow it, read it, study it, inwardly digest it every day. Amen. A wonderful privilege of being a Christian is to declare this truth. Would you join me as we stand? A tradition that I occasionally do, it's a tradition, it's my man-made idea, it's not an original, but for this morning, would you be willing to add your name? I, Dave, believe in God, or I, whomever, would you, on this particular case, just to validate what we've just heard together? I, Dave, believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I, Dave, believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I, Dave, believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah. I just love the Apostles' Creed. Would you sit comfortably wherever you like? This country is still being torn by indigenous problems. Dear God, we ask you to lift our indigenous peoples, distressed by the after effects of residential schools and other things that have happened in communities. Bring peace and bring reconciliation. Father, we also lift people suffering sickness. Jennifer, fighting a long battle with MS. And for James, a young man I've met, he's a great kid, age 16, he's fighting Hodgkin's disease. Mercifully hear our prayers and grant that in this congregation the pure word of God may be preached and sacraments duly administered. Strengthen and confirm the faithful, protect and guide the children, visit and relieve the sick. Father, turn and soften the wicked, arouse the careless, recover the fallen. Jesus, restore the penitent. Remove all hindrances to the advancement of your truth, and bring us to be one with one heart and mind within your holy church. To the honor and glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. We pray for the selection of Bishop replacing Charlie. And this one I would ask you to keep on your personal prayer list. We're getting near the end. The synod is going to be in November. I personally have not heard yet any names. My understanding is I will hear it, and you'll be the first to know. But there's not officially yet a published list. I'm sure there are candidates. Almighty God, giver of every good gift, look graciously on your church, and so guide the minds of those who shall choose a bishop for this diocese, that we may receive a faithful pastor who will preach the gospel, care for your people, equip us for ministry, and lead us forth in fulfillment of the great commission through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca, and be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.